And I hope at least some of us can see this screen. And anybody identify what that is? Anybody work out what it is? Could be a flag, someone's saying. Flag, something to do with Rio. Yeah, well, look, if you keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. Can you see that? Yeah, well, it's kind of, sort of that. I'll explain in a minute. What about this one? If you look more closely, keep looking. It's actually what's called 3D pavement art by a German artist called Edgar Müller. And basically, as you can see, it's 3D. It looks like there's a hole in the ground. There isn't really. It's just on the pavement, and so you could be walking along and think you're going to fall into it. But what these pictures remind us is that it's not always immediately obvious what we're looking at. And we therefore need the correct perspective. And then things make a bit more sense. Now, that is certainly the case when it comes to the words of Jesus that we read in this morning's reading from Mark's Gospel. Jesus has just recently burst onto the scene in the north of Israel, and he's been proclaiming the word of the Gospel. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the Gospel. Change your mind about God, turn back to him and believe in the good news. Well, his unique authority has been made known as he went about. He showed that he had authority over sickness as he healed people, authority over evil as he set others free from dark forces, authority even to forgive sins, something only God can do. Well, if you were here last week, you might remember that we saw how Jesus has authority over people, as he announced that he had come to call people to himself. But not those who think that they are righteous, that is, right with God by their own efforts. No, Jesus had come for those people who know their need. He has come to call sinners. And sinners can be forgiven because of what he was going to go on and do as he died on the cross as a ransom for many, rescuing people and buying people back, drawing them into connection with God. Now, as Mark continues his fast-moving account of Jesus' life, many, we hear, come to believe in Jesus. And the beginnings of his church develops too, as he draws 12 apostles to himself and then sends them out to preach that same word of the gospel. However, at the same time, we see opposition building up as the established religious teachers accuse Jesus of using the devil's power rather than God's. Now, Jesus explains that it's just totally illogical and ridiculous, because in fact, he is overcoming the devil's power. He's pushing back the devil's influence. Now, as we begin chapter 4, and we read from page 1011 of those black church Bibles, Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching a large crowd by the side of the Sea of Galilee. And the crowd is so large that people are pressing together so much that what he has to do is he has to get inside a boat and just push slightly offshore so that he can use the boat as like a pulpit in order to teach the crowds on the side of the lake. And Mark tells us that as he did that, he used his characteristic teaching method. So verse 2 says, as Jesus was teaching them, he taught them in many things in parables. So he starts telling special stories. And then we are told what the first parable Jesus told was. Now, it is a story which teaches us a vital perspective. And it also helps us to see why Jesus taught in parables. Now, many of Jesus' stories use ideas from life to get at some important truth. And this first parable uses a farming illustration. Listen, says Jesus, verse 3, a sower, a farmer, went out to sow. Now, I could do with it. Somebody give me a hand at this point. Anybody like to give me a hand? I'm sure that Ben's going to give me a hand. So, Ben, if you come and give us a hand. At the time, people didn't have machinery to sow seeds and so forth. So what they did was they'd send out workers who would have a bag, a bit more flashy than that probably, I don't know, made out of leather or something. And then they would basically put their hands in and throw the seed all over the place. So go on, just walk up and down and have an just do this, right, okay. So it just went absolutely everywhere. Landing on all kinds of surfaces. Some of it just seemed to be wasted, just generously throwing all this seed around. That was the way that they did it. So this would have been a familiar kind of idea to those people who first heard this story. Now in the story, Jesus says that the same sort of seed falls on four different types of soil. Thank you. And so he explains that some of the soil is hard, compacted soil, like on a path that's been trodden on. Some of the soil had lots of rocks in it. Other parts of the soil was filled with weeds and thorn bushes. And there's also, though, good soil that seed can land in. Now, those of us who've heard this story before will probably remember that Jesus' story is often called the parable of the sower. And yet, actually, it might equally be called the parable of the soils. And that is because it's about the way that the different soil receives the seed that was sown. Now, Jesus says that when seed is sown, some of it falls on hard, compacted soil on the path. And what happens? Birds come along, find the seed on the top of the hard soil and steal the seed. And that's the end of it. Some of the seed, though, is sown on soil that contains lots of rocks. Jesus says not much soil was there, and immediately the seed sprang up. But since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched. And it had no root, so it withered away. Then some of the seed fell on the thorn and weed-filled soil. And thorns grew up and choked the seed, and it yielded no grain. But in the good soil, the seed produced grain. It grew up and increased and yielded 30, 60, or even 100 times that which was sown. Well, now it would appear that those that Jesus had called to himself didn't really get it. They just didn't know what Jesus meant by his little story. And when he was alone, verse 10, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. Now, the reaction of those around Jesus at the time might make us think, why does Jesus not just say things in straight, clear ways rather than use pithy sayings or tell stories? Well, if any of us are familiar with the Gospels, we'll know that actually, of course, on occasions, Jesus does just tell it straight and says things bluntly. But often, he does use stories, parables, even riddles. And for good reason. Jesus said to them, that's the 12 and others close to him, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. So that, and then he goes on and quotes words from the Old Testament in Isaiah 6, where the people of the day were choosing not to listen to God's word, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, hear but not understand, and they should turn and be forgiven. Now in this world, there are different sorts of people. Those on the inside who are open to hear Jesus' message, and those on what Jesus calls the outside who are not. Those who God opens their eyes to see spiritually, and those who remain blind. Those who want to hear the word, and those who don't. Jesus' parables, his stories, sift or separate these two sorts of groups. So if you haven't got ears to hear the truth of Jesus, then all you pick up is a nice little story based on everyday life, but you wonder quite why it's being told. But if you have ears to hear Jesus' message, well, then you think about the story. You wrestle with it. And as his friends did here, you ask Jesus to help. And then the point starts to become clear. Now, when the 12 came to ask Jesus to help them, Jesus explains the meaning of his story. But before he does, he says, verse 13, "Do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" He seems to be saying that this parable of the sower is perhaps the most important of the parables. And that's because it is about hearing Jesus' message. He begins it by saying, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow the seed." And he ends it by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." And what's more, in his explanation that we're about to look at, in every verse, he uses the phrase, "the word," that is, the message. So clearly, this story is all about how people react to the message of Jesus. Now, you'll probably remember what Jesus says from what Ben read to us a few minutes ago. The four soils all react differently to the same sort of seed that lands on them. So the soils are like people hearing the message of Jesus, the message of his word that's been sown in their lives. So seed falling on the hard, compacted soil on the path is like people who hear the message, but the reality of it is stolen away spiritually. The devil picks up the seed and they can't hear it. It's as if they've never heard it. Then there's the seed that falls on the soil with many rocks in it. And that's like people who, when they hear the word, immediately respond positively. They seem to start well, but, says Jesus, they have no root in themselves. They last only a while. Then when trouble or persecution comes on account of the message of the word, they just fall away. And then there's the seed falling on the thorn or weed-filled soil. And that, says Jesus, is like people who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But there is good soil. And Jesus says the seed that was sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. It makes a difference. It lands in a life. A heart receives the message. It's believed. And lives are positively changed. Now, hearing Jesus explain his story makes anybody who listens to it ask a question of themselves. What sort of soil am I? But Jesus' story also gives those of us who, through Jesus' undeserved love, have heard his call to us as sinners to come to him and to receive his forgiveness, and who find that we ourselves, along with our fellow believers in the church community, have become sowers of the seed of the word, well, it gives us a vital perspective. The message of Jesus has power in it. It is as we sow it, as we share it, that we shall find different reactions. And that means that we don't need to be despondent when not all who hear the message believe or continue to believe. Jesus has warned us it will be like that. And that means that yes, we shall be disappointed, of course, but we won't be dejected. And we won't give up. It also means that we don't need a different sort of seed. If not everyone reacts positively, we don't need to find a different sort of seed. No, we need to stick with the seed that we've been given, the seed of Jesus' message, and continue to sow that seed. So you see, it's not the seed that is at fault, nor is it that necessarily we as messengers are at fault, but that it is in the nature of human beings living in this world that, like different sorts of soils, there's a different reaction to the seed that's sown. I don't know whether you've ever been to the Rydale Folk Museum at Hutton Le Hole. Well, we went a few years ago, and on one of the exhibits outside was an old farmer's rhyme that shows that this idea behind Jesus' parable has been recognised widely. Speaking of four seeds, the rhyme goes like this. One for the rook and one for the crow, one to rot and one to grow. That's how it is. You sow lots of seed, you expect that only a part of it is actually going to grow. Well, Jesus' parable reminds us that we need to sow a lot of seed. And we need to have that realistic perspective that not all will take. I guess reading the story with the four sorts of soils makes us think that at least three out of four seeds that are sown are not going to take root and last. Well, farmers have that perspective, so must those who are sowing the message of the gospel of Jesus. When we sow the seed of the word generously all over the place, I like when Ben was throwing those tickets all over the place. It lands on all sorts of surfaces, doesn't it? Some's on the carpet, some's on the pew, some landed on our heads, some landed all over the place. Lots of it. We need to be like that with the seed of the word. Whatever we can as a church family, we'll sow it, but we will find that some will not be interested. It will be just like landing on a hard surface that a bird comes and steals it away. Some, when it lands on the rocky surface, will start well but just fizzle out. Some will hear and start, but in the end they'll be choked by the cares of this world. But there will be some that the seed grows in their lives. There will be a harvest. They'll come to believe, and in fact they'll then become part of this process of being sowers and part of a team who are sowing that message to others. So Jesus' parable of the sower and the soils reminds us of this vital perspective. It encourages us to keep sowing the seed and to keep looking to the ultimate sower, who of course is Jesus, because he can do what we can't do. That is, he can open hearts and minds to the truth of his gospel word. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, this famous story, and yet we realise that it is very profound. We ask that you would open our hearts, that we might receive your word ourselves, and we pray that you would then help us as a church community to sow that seed as generously and as widely as we can. And Heavenly Father, we look to you to open hearts and minds that others might come to believe in Jesus, and we ask for his sake. Amen.